Welcome back to Copy and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Adam Spellhaug with Peterson Farm Seed.
Adam Spellhaug, Peterson Farm Seed. I'm the agronomist.
Agronomist, okay. I think last time I talked to a man named Nolan, and he was involved with some precision agriculture. Is that kind of what you're doing?
Yeah, I do everything from scouting fields, checking customers, problem issues, researching new genetics, and then precision agriculture is still a major part of that, too. Nolan works on my team, but we're just trying to see how a lot of this precision agriculture will fit with guys, how it can fit in their operations, how they can utilize it.
Nolan Berg, right?
Yes, yep.
Good memory, okay.
Yep.
Tell you what, for those people who might be a little bit of the old-fashioned farmer who still likes to get in the combine and still likes to get in the tractor, describe what precision agriculture is like your Webster.
I'm kind of half and half. I still like doing the driving the tractor, driving the combine too. I don't think we'll ever get away from that, but precision just, it helps your efficiency, I think, is the biggest thing. You know, with all these tools, we're going to be able to hopefully reduce our nitrogen inputs, you know, place our seed better, get better data, utilize some of the information we're getting now, incorporate that all into a precision prescription kind of for each field, versus just kind of blanket applying everything, you know, here and there.
So the example, I've been covering UAS drones and UAVs even for about 10 years now. And the example that Doug Goring and I used to give quite a few people is one of these drones would fly over a row of sunflowers, for example. It would spot one single pathogen or disease on one plant, and it would tell some four-wheeler ATV drone to go down the row, mist the chemical on it, saving the farmer thousands and millions of dollars in pesticides and chemicals. Where are we at with that hypothesis example? Are we there yet?
No, we're not there yet at all. I think I always say there's kind of three steps. There's kind of the hardware, the ship, flying it. Then we have the stitching, putting the pictures together. Then that analyzing the image at the end, and then maybe doing, you know, maybe a fourth step is doing something proactive with that. That third and fourth step are still kind of missing. You know, so the analytics, the algorithms, you know, identifying that pathogen. We're not there yet. You know, we can see that the plant is healthy or not, but we can't tell why. And that's where this industry needs to go is, you know, and if that comes from a drone image or just a good satellite image, either way, that's where we need to get to is something identifying what's going on in that field to help us out to make those decisions a little bit better.
So if I'm hearing you right, we can identify if there is a problem, but not quite what that problem is yet. So we don't know if it's blight or if we don't know if it's a mite, spider mites, or
sulfur, if it's just a deer chewed on it. You know, I mean, there could be all sorts of issues in agriculture. There's so many different variables out there. And so that's going to be hard, too, because, like I said, there's so many things going on. How to get specified down to what one thing is going on in that field. And usually there's multiple things we have to address.
How about when it comes to livestock? I know in Australia they were doing some studies about the tree canopies detecting koala bears. North Dakota right now is doing some waterfowl testing. Are we at the point where we're going to be counting our cattle with these, or is that coming down the path?
I think so, and I've got a friend of mine that's got a big feedlot too, and that's kind of where he's been looking at trying to get some of those things. I think what I've seen now on, you know, some of the FLIR infrared cameras, maybe the definition is quite there. So if you've got 30 head together, you're going to see one big red blob. You know, ideally we want 30 little red blobs out of that big pack together. Cattle aren't always separated out individually and all over and easy to pick out. So I think some of those definitions have to still get there, but I think that's definitely going to be a useful tool for those ranchers coming down.
I hear the techno music starting. We better go.
Starting up, so all right, thanks.
To listen to the full-length interview with Adam Spellhaug with Peterson Farm Seed, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue is happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. Live music from the Blue Ribbon Band, beverages from Armies West, and brisket, chicken, ribs, and much, much more vying for this year's Bakken Barbecue Trophy. The cost is $15 a person, kids 10 and under for free, and all the proceeds go to benefit Make-A-Wish North Dakota. That's the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue, happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
The Cannabis Caucus is a 12-part series devoted to educating and informing the public about cannabis, hemp, medicine, and how the industry impacts the economy. There are 24 states with a comprehensive medical cannabis program, and over 20 states are indicating it will be on their 2016 general election ballot. 17 states allow the cultivation of hemp. Plus, there are some passing cannabis policies within their own state government. And then there are the four states that allow recreation. It seems no matter where you turn, the cannabis domino has fallen. The Cannabis Caucus interviews law enforcement officers, policymakers, dispensary owners, medical doctors, activists, and those living and working within the industry on a day-to-day basis. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning journalist, executive producer, and talk show host. And this is the Cannabis Caucus 2016. In this very special interview with the Cannabis Caucus 2016, we talk with Pat Stedman, Colorado State Senator. How about some of those ancillary service businesses that have maybe stemmed out or butted out from, no pun intended, by the way, I didn't mean to do that, that has kind of shot out from this industry. Are you seeing quite a number of those, or are they exaggerated in the media?
The legalization of marijuana has allowed an industry to grow up here in Colorado, and it's, you know, there are both direct and indirect jobs that have been created. There are warehouses all over town here in Denver that have been converted into grow operations. And actually, if you've ever toured one of these, it's very impressive the amount of technology and science that goes into the cultivation and growing of a high-yield marijuana crop. A lot of recycling of energy and water that takes place. There's a lot of jobs for electricians and, you know, carpenters and people that help convert these old warehouses into grows. There's been a lot of jobs created directly in the industry, and then a lot of indirect jobs from ancillary businesses that support the marijuana cultivation operations. And whether that's, you know, HVAC and heating and cooling and lighting and electricity, to run these grow houses, or whether it's security firms, or we have some pretty strict regulatory requirements on the businesses for seed to sale tracking of every single marijuana plant. A lot of high tech databases and computer programs that go into that inventory management system. It's created a lot of jobs. One of the things we did this year in the legislature is we actually passed a law that creates a new class of licensure for marijuana licensed businesses for people just to be transporters and to safely transport product from one grow operation to various retail dispensary outlets, and to allow, you know, growers to have their product sold in more dispensaries than just they're associated with right now. And so having a licensed system of companies that just transport the product in a secure manner is something that the legislature addressed this year. It's just another example of the kind of jobs that have been created by the legalization movement.
And that was Colorado State Senator Pat Stedman. To listen to the full-length interview or other special features, a part of our 12-part series on the Cannabis Caucus 2016, visit our parent company's website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist, executive producer, and talk show host. And I thank you folks for tuning in to the Cannabis Caucus 2016, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.